Hale Varsity Magazine presents the Hale Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hale Varsity.
Day by day,
day by day,
we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get
B-B.
We get B-B.
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 Hale Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
On a deal like this, he's not in charge and neither am I. You know, somebody else will tell us. So we just follow the biology and the protocol and see what we can get.
Right.
But I just wanted to tell you, everything's kind of progressing normally.
Good news, great news, official news in about an hour and a half on Tommy Armstrong.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So I'm saying there's a great chance of Tommy Armstrong starting taking snaps on Saturday. Welcome to it, the Thursday edition of Hale Varsity Radio, Hale Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. You heard from Blackshirt Jay and Blackshirt Jay Moore, NFLer, Husker, and it's golf pants, Jay, today.
It's my, I mean, these aren't just pants.
I'm not piling on
you. These are my work pants, too. But
no, that's fine. They look nice.
Yeah.
But as I
just glad you're
out,
wearing pants.
Yes. I mean, because on Fridays, it's no pants, Jay.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And that wears everyone out.
Yeah, that's all right.
TJ Henning is there. I'm Chris Schmidt. Hope you're doing all right. Getting ready for Nebraska, Minnesota. And a lot to get to today. We'll be joined by ESPN and the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman, in 15 minutes. We are on the road tomorrow, so home football weekends. Dolman's a Thursday guest, and on the weeks Nebraska's on the road, Billy D is a Friday guy. We are in the rail yard tomorrow. We want to see you down there at the rail yard with the Hale Varsity tailgate, craft beer. High five that. You will have Triple B screen printing gear down there, Husker gear, Nebraska, Minnesota tickets, Nebraska gear. And Joel Makovica, we're going to do the over-under again on whether I say Joel or Jeff. I won that under with Joel. So Joel Makovica will be on hand tomorrow. Teammate, well, not quite a teammate, but a guy you know, Brandon Kenny.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Wide receiver.
Yep.
He'll be down at Nebraska, and all Brandon Kenny did at Nebraska was catch touchdowns in big games. And I'll be interested to get his thoughts on the Nebraska offensive 09 and how he sees it in comparison to 2016's offense. Different quarterback, obviously, but it's been as anemic at times.
You'll have to ask if he remembers his former next-door roommate freshman year.
Of course he did.
Shram.
You mean the guy who got all the women?
Yeah, BK.
No, I was talking about you.
Yeah.
Oh, you had to live next door to TJ. It was Ramen and Star Wars. I'm just messing with you.
Ramen and Halo, so not too far off.
Okay. Hey, TJ, you want to go to a party? Nah, I'm on level 18. I guess I assume they have level 18 on Halo. I don't know. I'm thinking Contra from Nintendo. But no, off and running on Thursday. The guy who got all the women in the dorms. TJ. TJ's very uncomfortable right now because Grandpa's listening and he's turning beet red. Gary Barnett will be with us in 1 hour. You can join us 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865 on Twitter at JMore44, at TJ underscore Henning, at Schmidt underscore radio, and of course at Hale Varsity. Some giveaways today. So Secret Husker, we will ask you to call in for that, your chance at Nebraska-Minnesota tickets and Blur party passes. That'll happen in the 5 o'clock hour. Also, we are going to start this for you. And when it comes to HaleVarsity.com, a premium online subscription giveaway. So we will give a premium online subscription to Hale Varsity. Give one of those away each day until Aaron Babcock says, Schmidt, that's enough. What are you thinking? What are you doing? We're going to give that away. So that is what's happening from a giveaway standpoint. You have the numbers to get in. Guys, we have talked a lot about the many different bullet points with Nebraska, Minnesota this weekend. First and foremost, I like this side of it. From an excitement standpoint, it's fair to say Wisconsin was about 9.5. For the Oregon game, it was about 11.
Mm-hmm.
Just looking at, we're putting a number attached to the game. Northwestern, probably 6.5, 7. You weren't sure, but it turned out okay. Indiana, there was some concern with that. I think there was some buzz about going on the road to Indiana mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. of how dinged up you were. And you felt great about your performance against Wisconsin, but your buzz and confidence level dipped severely going into Ohio State. I think that's fair to say. A week ago, even on a Thursday, we were talking and it was just felt some of you had a bad feeling deep down, if you're really honest with yourself. And I don't have a bad feeling about Nebraska-Minnesota this Saturday. I mean, I think Tommy Armstrong in an hour and a half will know he's been cleared to play. I believe that's what will happen. We'll see if it happens or not. I'm glad I was betting my money and not yours Monday when I said I don't think he would play. I believe he'll play and start, and Nebraska's offense will go to work. Listen, the quarterback play is going to be the difference maker in Saturday night. We say that a ton. It's not a new or uncommon storyline, but it is something that's really determined how well and whether or not Minnesota has had success. Mitch Leidner, if you can knock his rushing numbers down, that's how you beat Minnesota, because they're going to run. He'll be part of that run game attack and then play action. He'll hit one of his Gronk clones at tight ends, it seemed like, from different years. And the Gopher defense is very stout and sturdy, tough and physical. But quarterback play is what's determined whether Minnesota has shocked Nebraska or whether Nebraska has been able to win. And kind of the outlier in this series was last year, because Leitner threw for 300 mm-hmm. yards. They put up 28 points, which is usually enough to get a win for Minnesota at home based on their defense. And then you have Nebraska bust out for 45. You have Nebraska bust out with the shotgun run game. You have Nebraska bust out with DPE downfield against a really good, at the time, Gopher secondary. And quarterback play will be huge, because I think Nebraska is going to have to kind of mirror a little bit of what they did a year ago, and that's go up top and find some of the wideouts, assuming they can run the ball a little bit. With Tommy Armstrong, TJ, is he, say he plays, say he starts, say he's cleared, say he's the old Tommy, and does he respond favorably against this Gopher defense? And from a game plan standpoint, what are you putting forward? I mean, that seems to be the consensus, that they'll try and get some of those one-on-one matchups. You'll have quarterback run in it, and you'll use the running backs. But from a Nebraska standpoint, do you think Nebraska has the edge in quarterback play, assuming it's Tommy Saturday?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I have zero concern about Tommy and his what he's able to do if he's able to play on Saturday. I think you go forward status quo. You cannot be concerned about his head injuries or the past one. You can't be concerned that if it happens again. If it does happen again, hey, great, because Riker Fife's got majority of the snaps this week. Okay. He'll be fine.
Not great, but...
Well, I mean, right, it's going to be okay. Like, it's...
He's prepared.
But you can't ever operate. I know Coach Barnett has said it many times. You can't, as a coach, you cannot coach in fear of injuries. You have to go through it, and if it happens, it happens, and you adjust from there. You'll see the run game. If he's able to play, you'll see the run game from Tommy. You have to show that he's a threat, because that's his best ability, and that's sometimes our best running game is Tommy in the run game.
That's been it.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked this week about Nebraska, and Riley started it Monday by talking about that identity run, one or two. Well, what's been the identity run? It's been faking the give and going around right in for a
mm-hmm.
touchdown.
Mm-hmm. No, it's been huge. I mean, that's honestly, he's been our most consistent back all year. I mean, it's been one of our best plays, whether it's especially in the QB draw game. We've seen that a lot, you know, against Oregon, against Northwestern. I mean, those are huge type of plays that we've been very successful with. So you have to use them. You have to make them a threat to the defense. And it just gets your offense in a rhythm. I think it's Tommy in a rhythm. It just has another play in your back pocket that you can fall on that you've been very successful with. Now, you can't do those with Riker Fife. Those plays aren't there with Riker Fife. You might show it a couple times just to keep the defense honest, just to say, hey, we do have these in, but you're not going to see it 10 to 15 times like you would with Tommy. But you have to have it. And, you mean, it just it helps expand everything, and it just keeps you on track. It gets you a play where, you know, it hasn't been a ton of minus yardage plays with Tommy in the run game this year. There's been a couple where they got blown up against Purdue and Illinois and other games. But for the most part, it's been very, very successful, and you have to keep making that work.
You gotta have it work, and let's just be honest, it divides what a defense will and can key on, and that's if you just know it's newbie and you have a dinged Armstrong back there, you're going to just focus solely on the one running back. With Armstrong, and this is something DiNardo said 100 years is the multiplicity you get in offense when you got to be worried about the running back and the quarterback in the run game. But let's talk spark, because the offense has been stagnant and it's been declining as the opponents have gotten better, and that's to be expected. But can Nebraska kind of flip the script offensively? And I'm not asking for a 70-point bust out. What I am wondering, though, is if they can get back to that 24 to 30-point type performance, because it's been 27, it's been 24, it's been 17, it was 3 last week. Can they get upper 20s? And is Tommy going to be that spark? And this is not just about Saturday either. It's about the long term, because you're going to need to score points against Maryland. You're going to need to score enough points in a Wisconsin and Minnesota style of ball game on the road after Turkey Day. What the offense needs to spark, is Tommy that guy?
Well, absolutely. I think even though he's not, air quotes, a captain, I still think he's the most influential leader on this football team. With this group of, you know, those 11 guys on offense. Even you kind of saw when he went out, you know,
the lights went out.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not being a smart aleck here.
No pun intended. Right.
I'm just saying you saw the hope.
Right. Yeah. It's tough. It sucked all the energy. He has something there. I think. Just he gives that kind of that confidence, whatever that might be with this offense and this team.
I think there's a calmness.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely. And he can be that guy. But it's really interesting to see what Minnesota is going to do, because you've seen now in the last few weeks now, you have teams are loading the box against Nebraska. Even though we've struggled to run the – but that's partly because of teams going 8-9 guys in the box and saying, listen, we're going to let Tommy try to beat us in there, because he has – his completion percentage has dropped significantly.
49%.
It's gotten bad. So teams are like, listen, we're going to pick our poison – We'll take Tommy throwing the ball against you trying to run it.
And he's been able to beat Indiana. He's been able to beat Purdue. And he got you close enough with some clutch throws against Wisconsin. Now, he went out in the mid, you know, towards the end of that second quarter. And Ohio State's kind of an outlier.
Right.
Ball game period. A quick phone call. We'll get John in. John, welcome into Hail Varsity. Go ahead.
Sweaty, how you doing? How you doing? Good to hear you guys.
Johnny, how are you, brother? What's up?
Hey, you know, what I'm challenged by as I look at Nebraska is, you know, a lot of times we see teams with guys who are playmakers. You look at Michigan, you look at Ohio State, and they want to get the ball to playmakers. And that seems to be one of the things we're lacking. The screen game has been totally non-existent. But a guy like Pearson Hill, who seems to be back for the most part, he needs to be touching the ball at least 10, 12, maybe even 15 times a game. And I just want to get your comments on, you know, why, for some reason, Tommy doesn't have to throw a 15, 20-yard pass. He just needs to throw a quick out and let a guy get some yards after the catch. So I'm just curious. We have playmakers. We have guys who can do some things. But for some reason, we're not getting them the ball.
I think there's a real struggle. John, thanks for the call. And Jaybird, you weigh in on this too. I think there's a real struggle with distribution. And I think there's also an element of trust. I think there's higher level of trust, obviously, between quarterback and wideout when it comes to Westerkamp. I think also on that list is kind of a 1A is Stanley Morgan. I think there's some roles that are specific. Either the jet sweep or you go deep, that's Alonzo Moore and Riley. And then I think DeMorne Pearson-El has improved that trust and communication with Armstrong, hence what happened against Purdue. I mean, that burst things open for Nebraska to go beat Purdue was that slant route when they finally got the lead. But there's so many options and playmakers Nebraska has been able to go to, with the exception of the Ohio State game, because Armstrong spread it around. Riley had a couple of catches, Stanley had a couple of catches, and then Jordan had a couple of catches that set up scores against Wisconsin. So Nebraska has the playmakers. Ohio State just shut down and outplayed everyone on offense, right, with the exception of Westerkamp, my opinion.
Without a doubt. You'd like to.
The screen game's been blown up, right, just to right, end on. Screen game's been blown up because the offensive line's been a mess.
Right. It's just hard right now. I think Langsdorf is trying to find something that he can rock and roll with this offense and this offensive line. He's trying everything. It's the slant game. Well, balls are getting tipped and picked off, batted down.
Post-Purdue.
Right. You're trying to find that 1-1 matchup. Well, guys aren't making the play. You're trying to find a quick, you know, a screen game and the bubble screen, whatever it might be. Well, Tommy has sometimes tough time throwing that ball, or guys catching and making a move. You're only getting a couple yards. Well, it's like just hard. Things haven't been clicking, man. Yeah. It's hard to figure it out. And that's, you know, we'll be interesting. That's the rhythm with this offense.
Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, thanks to John. Coming up, Bill Dolman, the Pride of Fairbury, next.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Henning, don't forget your chance. We'll give away a six-month premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com next hour. Your chance at Nebraska-Minnesota tickets with Secret Husker next hour. He's with ESPN. He's the Pride of Fairbury. He's hosted the Tom Osborne Show. And that is not a clip on tie. It is Bill Dolman, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. Oh, we're going to do this one. A little change-up. Mm-hmm. We went from the Bill Dolman theme to the crying game. Bill, how we doing?
Well, I was doing fine.
This one kind of represents last Saturday night's game.
Yeah, that was not good. You just had a hunch that not that could happen, but something bad could happen, and it just snowballed. You know, to go down, you know, 7-0 in the first, you know, minute of the game at Ohio State, that was disastrous. You know, I think one of the things in looking at it, and I think we talked about it last week, Nebraska's not ready to be there yet, but they're not Northwestern's rival, right? But those are the games that Nebraska's got to strive to get to. I mean, Michigan's turned it around fairly quickly under Jim Harbaugh. If all this recruiting stuff is, you know, going the way people seem to think it's going, then, you know, Nebraska could be there fairly soon. But they're just not there yet. Did I think it was going to be a 155-2?
Yeah, you said 3-2. I mean,
well, I was close.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, I was close. But I think it was very, very tough for Nebraska to go play Wisconsin on the road and put all that they did into that one and then turn around a week later to have to gear back up again on the road. I think, you know, if they got Wisconsin on the road and Ohio State at home and you've got two emotional games back-to-back, you know, that's tough. But to do it back-to-back on the road at this point in the season against those, I think that was asking a lot for this particular team. And it's going to be a while, though, you know, because this is a senior-laden offense. But I think that was just asking a lot of Nebraska to gear up two times in a row against those two opponents on the road. And it showed. And once Tommy got hurt, that game was way over.
Mm-hmm.
That took everything out of everybody. It was great to see him come back on the field. It was a horrifying scene when he went down, but I think that everything was done right then.
Bill, is a game like that, where you lose by 59 points on the road, where you thought you maybe it should have been a lot closer than that. Does it kind of ruin this how you foreseen this season? Does it you kind of
no.
or do you still see it as, hey, we have a chance to go 10-2?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And 9-3, 8-4 might suck, but you know, I think 9-3. I think that there's been so much good, you know, built up over the first 7 weeks of the season, and in the game at Wisconsin. You know, they only, you know, again, rankings are rankings; they don't mean anything. But in the eyes of the country, I think, you know, they only drop two spots, three spots after that loss on the road in overtime. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot built up. They got their asses handed to them last week. They're not as good as Ohio State. They're not on that stage. And Tommy getting hurt, I think Tommy getting hurt put 30 points on the board. Nebraska's not going to win that game, but it might not have been the absolute drubbing that it turned out to be. It might have been, you know, 42-7 or, you know, 35-38-7, you know. But I think when that happened, game's over, you know, by a long shot. But I don't know. I think there's been too much good that's been built up over the last couple of years. I don't think this is a gauge that, you know, I read some of the stories that, oh, the Riley train has been, you know, derailed and the setback. I don't believe that. I think there's too many other good things around the program, you know, and putting the foundation in place that one game like that after the performance at Wisconsin, I don't think that erases it. I think there might be another loss. It might be a 9-3 season. Fine. That's great. You know, it could be a 10-2 and it could be 11-2, I guess, if that's how many they ended up playing with a bowl game.
Here's a question I have, though. Based on how you played at Wisconsin, I think the expectation is going to be 10-2. I think there's you go play Wisconsin that well, you should have beat them. In the Ohio State game, you didn't think you were going to win anyway. No, you didn't think it was going to get just nuclear like it did. But you're 0-2 against teams you thought you'd be 0-2 against, but you kind of apply the good of the Wisconsin to the rest of this November schedule. I think there'll be disappointment if you don't end up 10-2. Minnesota, your favorite against. Tommy will be cleared here in about an hour and a half, I think, to play. Maryland, crab cakes and football, they've got some speed, but they're better but not great. Then Iowa is a shadow of what they were confidence and physically a year ago. I think you kind of got to go 10-2 to kind of erase that with that Ohio State performance.
Am
I reading too much into how well you played against Wisconsin?
No, I think the Wisconsin game was legitimate. I mean, you know, I think 10-2 was legitimate, but 9-3 I think has to be acceptable. We went 9-3 forever with some other guy for 25 years. You know, that was okay.
Sure.
given he, where the program was,
he didn't lose. He didn't lose 62-3 though. That often.
No, but again, I really think that there's an anomaly that you can put to that. I think the Tommy Armstrong deal was horrifying, and I know they're young men and they're big and they're tough and all that. This is their leader, motionless on the field. You know, there's an emotional aspect to that. I don't care how tough they might have said they were. I'm grateful that he jogged onto the field. I really, to be honest with you, I hope he doesn't play this week. But you know, one thing that I also look at with this team is that these guys have been together. I mentioned it earlier, talked about it last week. This is a senior laden squad, especially offensively. You know, you've got some guys that have been through some really rough times over the last 4 or 5 years, some heartbreaking losses last year. I think that there is a lot of pride in that group to finish this year out strong and, you know, to help out Mike Riley. I don't think you're going to see them drop off. You know, when 9-3 to me, I think is a great season for this program where we were, you know, just a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't lose to, you know, I don't think you should lose to Minnesota, Iowa. I don't think you should ever lose to Iowa. you know, but again, these are the Iowa game is a great little rivalry. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're blessed that to be in the Big Ten to give us a natural rivalry as opposed to the old Big 12 thing where they said you and Colorado are rivals, and we're like, well, what?
Yeah,
who? What? We just give them money, and then we kick their ass in football, and we give them money and go skiing. That's all this is all about. It's a transaction. It's not
now
a
we
rivalry.
Give them money for gummy bears, but yeah.
Yeah, you know. So I think, you know, the Iowa game, I think, is going to be a great way to wrap up the regular season. You shouldn't lose that game. That's in Iowa City, right?
It is.
Okay, that's awful. But, you know, I think people are reading way too much into 62-3, that's the state of the program. I think the state of the program
is not the
before.
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying you thought you were going to lose, but you didn't think you'd lose that bad. And you're right. The faith and comeback ability went out the window when he got hurt. You're right. You're totally right. But I'm saying many didn't think you'd lose that bad. I thought they'd go get blown out deep down because Urban was going to make a point on national TV with the rankings. I mean, you'd lose by 28 is my point. Not
right.
That.
Here's one thing that I have an issue with. And this is so symptomatic. I don't know if symptomatic is the right word, but this happens every week in college football everywhere. And it's not the way it used to be, you know, back at Nebraska back in the day. When you have somebody get hurt like that and go out, it's like, oh my God, who's coming in now?
Mm-hmm.
You know, back in the day, you know, everybody got 100 reps in practice. And there were times throughout, you know, games in the first half where backups, even the quarterbacks, were getting some significant snaps. And typically the fourth quarter, you know, and even the, you know, we were beating teams so bad, you know, most of the second half were backups.
You got in, for God's sake.
I did. I played, right. You know, taking Matt Turman down to Kansas State, you know, that was a little tenuous, but Matt Turman at least played.
Yeah.
But anymore, there is such this mentality in college football that it's the NFL that the only, you know, you might have backups playing all the other positions, but it's the starting quarterback takes every snap of the game up until the very end, even in a game that's 48-17. You know, I don't understand that. This is college football. Get those guys out there. Get them some reps. You know, Riker Fife should have a lot more, you know, attempts than what he's had this season. And I think it kind of struck me when he got onto the field,
mm-hmm.
you know, they were giving his numbers. It's like he hasn't thrown a pass all year or something like that. And,
like four.
And I don't understand. And it's not, this isn't a Nebraska thing, but it was something that Nebraska did that backups got to play. And when we beat Arizona State, 77-14, I think that was after the Michigan State game and, you know, whatever.
This was 95.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. We had backups playing by the end of the first half. We had to put starters back into the game in the second half because the backups were tired, you know? But those guys were seasoned and ready when called upon, you know, in games that were tough down the stretch. And my point is that I just don't understand why college football has to have this NFL mentality where you might play backups every other position, but the quarterback is the quarterback, and he's going to take the kneel and the victory, you know, formation. To me, Riker Fife, you know, they should say, oh, this guy's got, you know, 30 or 40, you know, attempts already this season. Mm-hmm. And I know he played a lot last year. But I don't understand the mentality that the quarterback has to be in there every single play of every game, even if the game is well out of hand with, you know, 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter.
Bill, I
don't get that.
By about 20 seconds, my man, I need to know the score prediction for Saturday.
Do you want the real score prediction or the virtual reality? I thought all games were played virtually in reality, but apparently this game against Minnesota is some wacky thing that, you know, we got all watching 3D goggles, right?
Yeah, something like that. Give me the real prediction.
Yeah. I think that this is a little more comfortable. I think we're looking at 748-11.
Okay, 748-11. There's Bill Dolman. He says they cover and win. Billy D, we'll talk next week. Thanks so much, buddy.
That's also the over.
That's the over. See you, Bill.
Bye.
There he goes. We got to get into that quarterback question he brought up next on Hail Varsity.
Forget to catch any segment of the show?
Man, you are one pathetic loser.
Find the podcast of the show on HailVarsity.com or subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
All right, all right, all right.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Big thanks to Bill Dolman. He said 748-11. Nebraska, the over, the cover, the win by 600 points. God love him. Don't forget your chance coming up at a premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com, a six-month giveaway for you to enjoy. HailVarsity.com, the premium online subscription. Great community of Nebraska fans. Be a part of it. Your chance to win a subscription. We'll do that every day here on Hail Varsity. How about Sauter Heyman? How about your friend Rick at Sauter Heyman? 1 carat diamonds available. And time is running out for you because you do have that birthday or anniversary coming up for her. And specifically, the holidays are just around the corner. We are close to Thanksgiving. And then after Thanksgiving, 'tis the season for the fat guy on the roof. Okay. So $100 a month, 1 carat diamonds. Go see Rick and your friends at Sauter Heyman. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion out west in Grand Island. SauterHeyman.com. Limited time offer with approved credit. And next hour, Nebraska, Minnesota tickets, Blur party passes for you. All right. This is an interesting dynamic. We are 20 minutes away from Gary Barnett. I can't wait to talk with him about this, but you've lived it this week, wondering what's going to happen with Nebraska if they've got to go with Riker Fife or insert a backup quarterback. It's always been a moment of panic for you as a Nebraska fan. You can go back to 94. It worked out okay. It worked out great. But traditionally, it's not something you want to be in that spot. And it's wounded really good football teams if they lose their quarterback. And you're not getting backup quarterbacks. You're getting them some reps, but they're not as prepared as they were back in the Osborne era with three or four station practices. Jay, you can kind of speak to that. But what do you do? Because you've got this life cycle right now at the quarterback spot where you're getting specialized training and treatment since you start shaving and your voice starts changing. Okay? You just do with quarterback gurus. One of our dear friends is Steve Calhoun, and he's put a lot of guys into Division One and into college. But you have that specialized tutoring, that treatment that's going on. It's a land grab to get a quarterback, evaluate him correctly, get him young, get a commitment by junior year. And oh, by the way, it's not just a junior year commitment you want to get. You might want to get a second quarterback in a class. And then it's piranha fighting, which quarterback will eat the other and which kid's going to transfer, which one's going to stay. And that's been the vicious cycle of quarterback play in college football. A&M's lost 48. Oklahoma State's lost 50. I'm exaggerating, but they've lost high-profile quarterbacks. And if you get a good one, like Andrew Luck, like a Josh Rosen before his nerve issue, you're going to either miss out on getting a great backup because they don't want to go there, or you just pray to God your quarterback stays healthy for 3 years. Mm-hmm. The only place that I've seen two places get quarterbacks perfect for their system and guys not leave. What Leach has done at Washington State and what Briles did at Texas. They have stacked quarterbacks and not just a freshman following a senior. They have followed senior quarterbacks with junior or seniors, period. Mm-hmm. They've done it right. But they're about it. And I'm wondering what you do if you're Langsdorf, if you're Riley, if you're a college football coach with quarterback play, because you don't have a great feel and you don't want to hurt Patrick O'Brien right now by playing him. And listen, you're probably not going to have to because Tommy will start Saturday. But you don't feel great about Riker in some corners. In some other corners of Nebraska fandom, you feel okay because Riker's a good kid. He's smart. He's got a good arm. You can win with him.
Right.
I don't know what side of the aisle you're on, but that's the discussion if he were to play. And if you lose your guy like Tommy, I mean, think about the rest of the year. God forbid, say Tommy couldn't play the rest of the year. That blows up your season.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, on its face, it blows up your season. And that's not giving Riker and the guys enough credit to respond. There's an ongoing issue at quarterback where you don't have quality depth behind your starter because you just can't get kids in at quarterback very often to stick it out and stay and take advantage of the opportunity to wait to play until the coaches deem you ready. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska's, I mean, they have Patrick O'Brien, they have Tanner Lee, and then they got Jebbia. Not all three of those dudes are going to stick around, mm-mm, likely, based on history,
right?
Based on what's gone on at other major football programs. So I don't know what you do from a practice and a rep standpoint. You're so concerned about injury, it's more of an NFL-style practice.
No, it is. I mean, the numbers, you don't carry as many numbers, but still, I mean, it's not, during the season, your starters have to get the reps, and your backups get significant less reps. They just do. It's just the way it is.
Has it affected readiness?
I think it always comes to shove. I think it's just the nature of the game. I mean, I don't care where you go, your backup is never getting as many reps as a starter. That's asinine, because you have to prepare to get your start. That's going to be in the majority of the reps. That's crazy. You just hope that your starter is maybe a guy like Riker Fife, who's been there, been a part of the program, been a part of the offense, got a decent amount of reps during.
He's been in some big moments,
been in some games or something like that. But it's hard. You have to get your number one guy, whether it's the whole team or it's just. I mean, times we've gone through practice, the twos maybe get, if you went through 100 reps of team stuff in a practice, maybe the backups get a third of those reps. That's it. That's might be generous. That's honestly, so that's might be generous.
So out of 100 snaps, you're getting 33. And you divide that 33.
And 100 reps is a lot, but maybe 60 snaps.
Into different situations, though.
Right.
It's not all three. I mean, it's not all out routes or slant routes,
right,
or go routes.
Right.
I mean, it's you're breaking it down, but you can't just focus. You can't fine tune, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because I mean, you're going to get equal amount of.
Does
reps.
That eventually ever stop? Though is the question, especially if you find a program at a place that wants great depth at quarterback. I guess it kind of comes down to who you're recruiting and the kid's attitude.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Attitudes are a big thing anymore. Like I said on Monday, it's. The recruiting game has changed football so much and the kids' outlook on – so every kid –
Look at Burrow. Burrow is, mm-hmm, talented. He's kind of the next in line behind Barrett.
Mm-hmm.
But he's – I mean, that's a perfect example of what you want.
Right. But he comes from a good football family that understands, like, hey –
gotta wait your turn.
You gotta wait your turn. I mean, your dad. I mean, has played with both of his or one of his brothers. Jamie was graduated just before I got there. But I know Jamie well. But a guy like his Dan Burrow, never really played or played some special team stuff, but waited his time. His dad played, coached. They understand the process. You can't get frustrated. I'm sure he's been frustrated too. But it's like, hey,
you stuck it out.
You stick it out.
That's an example.
This is what you sign up for.
And credit to Riker.
Right.
He's still here.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll have your gunslinger back, I believe, and you'll have practice finishing up in about 40 minutes. But expect Tommy to go tomorrow. Gary Barnett coming up.
Subscribe to Hail Varsity Magazine. Call 1-855-3-HUSKER or go to HailVarsity.com/subscribe.
That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing! That's amazing!
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Winding down hour one, Gary Barnett 10 minutes away. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker NFLer. Jay Moore tomorrow. Be with us 4 to 6:30 in the rail yard. With Hail Varsity, the tailgate commences. Your chance to get tons of prizes. Nebraska and Minnesota tickets. Husker gear. Qualify for the Oris Grand Prize Watch giveaway with your friends at Sauterhamen. The craft beer tasting bar from Longwell's and K&Z Distributing. Friends from Kidwell going to be there. Triple B Screen Printing. There's a awesome new Iowa-Nebraska shirt that Mr. Batts and the gang at Triple B have out. Something regarding a wall in Iowa. Nebraska Lottery, Ren's Display, Emeritus also helping provide great times at this Hail Varsity tailgate in the rail yard. Brian Health, as well as ESPN 1480 and the rail yard. So come see us. Home Football Fridays tomorrow in the rail yard, 4 to 6:30. I'm going to coax Jay Moore to maybe pop by for a frosty one. You're going to have You're going to have Joel.
Way to catch yourself.
Yeah, well, I caught myself twice there. Joel Makovica and Brandon Kenny will be on hand to be part of the radio program and do some meet and greet stuff. We'll get to some NFL this weekend here in about an hour. Interested in that Seattle and New England game. I've got to take 2 minutes and wish a happy birthday to the biggest Seattle fan I know, next to his mother, Junior Carson Schmidt. My little boy is 10 today. That means daddy's getting older, but so is he. And he's the best little dude there is. His teeth may frighten some, but I still love him.
Orthodontist to see that money.
Yeah, he will. Right now he's in the back of the car going, you know, blank you, Dad, mm-hmm. probably. But no, I love him so much, and it's his birthday today. I can't wait to see him later and go do some fun with him. But he's a good kid, and he is he's special to me because 2 weeks old, he was at his first tailgate. Nebraska played Colorado. You guys mm-hmm. played Colorado. Mm-hmm. And he's not even 24 years old, and he's watching the Jay Moore Show along with Mo Purify win mm-hmm. in A&M. I think mm-hmm. that was 28-27.
Yeah,
that fade route mm-hmm, to Mo mm-hmm, Purify, mm-hmm. that looked really bleak. But no, I mean, I remember like it was yesterday holding him in my arms and watching that ball game. Just, and he's such a good kid. So it's a happy birthday wish to you, Carson.
Happy birthday, Carson.
That's right.
Happy birthday, dude.
Carson is right now just – he's chipping off Shields gift cards.
Mm-hmm. He's trying to figure out what he wants to spend, huh?
Yeah, that's either that. And I got to figure out what to get him. He wants some of the NFL military
mm-hmm.
appreciation yep. gear, those sweatshirts uh-huh. and the zip-ups. Uh-huh. So I may have to pull that off. He wants a Seattle one. So we may do that. But, no, he's you asked me when we walked in, you're like, how much KD gear did Junior get? We're like, none. He went and saw him last summer, so mm-hmm. he's good. But he has started to do the transition and the fair weather thing. Now, he hasn't asked to paint his room yet, but he's accumulating more Golden State gear.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I will just say that. So, happy birthday to you, Carson. Love you much. And we will get caught up. Gary Barnett on the way. We'll talk more Nebraska, Minnesota. And some NFL. That is on the way. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine continues your chance. Don't forget Nebraska, Minnesota tickets next hour.
Hail Varsity Magazine presents the Hail Varsity Radio Show, the authority on all things Huskers. Spanning across the state, no one else talks Huskers like Hail Varsity.
Day by day, day by day, we get better and better.
We get better and better.
We get beat.
Hail Varsity Radio Show, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Here are your hosts, Chris Schmidt and former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
Back with you, Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Blackshirt Husker, NFLer Jay Moore. TJ Henning, producing, engineering, contributing. In about 20 minutes, your chance at Nebraska, Minnesota, and Blur Party passes. Also, in about 30 minutes, your chance at a Hail Varsity online premium subscription. We're going to give one of those away. We welcome in a man who hits them far and straight and knows a thing or several about college football, Gary Barnett, with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, how are you this week?
I'm good, Chris. How about you guys recovering from last weekend, I assume?
A little bit.
Still licking our wounds, Coach.
A little
still
bit.
Licking our
yeah.
wounds.
What do you think? I know going into it last week, you thought it'd be closer than that. I didn't think it'd be I didn't feel real good about it, but I didn't think it was going to be that bad either. How do you size up last Saturday night?
Well, I think it gives you a really good indication of how good Ohio State is. I mean, just how athletic they are, you know, just the kind of team they've been able to put together. I mean, that's a pretty young team, and boy, I'll tell you, they came out smoking, and you know, and that's after a loss in a tight game the week before. You know, I mean, Northwestern was tight, wasn't a loss, but so you know, I mean, they're good. You can't underestimate them, and then of course, if you get your quarterback hurt and pick one of your one of those days to play your worst games against somebody like that, then you get a disaster. And that's pretty much what you guys ran into there. I didn't think it'd be nearly that bad. I thought it would be a decent game. I thought it'd be a good game. I told you that. Nebraska, you always think you have a chance, and I think they would with Armstrong. But man, that was one of those you want to forget about.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yes,
correct.
We do.
Correct, Coach.
Yeah, that's one of those where you don't even show the kids the film. You just go, let's don't. Spend one more second thinking about that game.
Have you done that before, Coach? Because I know, I hate to bring this back up, when we lost to Texas Tech my sophomore year, 70-10, we did not even watch the game film. We said, the hell with it, we're moving on. Have you had to do that before?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and there's nothing wrong with it. You know, there's just nothing to be gained by going back over that nightmare. And so you just, you know, you got to – nobody wants to see it. Mm-hmm. You know, Nobody wants to see it. Nobody wants to show it. Nobody wants to talk about it. Let's just don't waste our time. And it does happen. And, you know, I can't always remember what we did the next week, but I know one thing. I wasn't going to spend another 2 hours looking at that stuff. So,
Coach Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, when you look at Nebraska moving forward and their matchup Saturday night against Minnesota, we'll know officially here in about 30 minutes about Tommy Armstrong, whether he'll be cleared or not. That's kind of the lean, and indication is that he'll play and start on Saturday. I think Coach Riley will announce that in about 30 minutes to 40 minutes. So you have Tommy back. You're going to have two of your starters back on the offensive line that didn't play against Ohio State. And then you have this Minnesota team that's been a lot like Northwestern in the sense that they've been really tight, really close games against Nebraska, with the exception of last year when Nebraska won pretty easily at Minnesota. What's Nebraska walking into tonight, and are you concerned about Nebraska's psyche post last week with this matchup?
Sure you do. I think the whole thing from a coaching standpoint here is that and talking with your players after a game like this is that you can't let Ohio State beat you twice. They beat the dog out of you once, but let's don't let them beat us twice. And that's the risk you run of not being focused against another Big Ten Division One football team. That's, you know, their players are on scholarship. Their players watch film. Their coaches get paid a lot of money. They have access to everything. So, you know, there's not much difference between our guys and their guys. And if you let that game hang over you, then you're going to let them beat you twice. And, you know, I think more than anything else, that's probably has been Mike's message. And then to some extent, you got to build back some confidence into your football team, because when you get thrashed like that, you can't just walk away from it. I mean, that beating hurts pretty deep, and it's hard to get over it. And as a coach, you've got to get them over that. And you can't trip over something behind you. You got to somehow get your psyche back, if it means having some fun at practice, or if it means something, getting your mind off of what just happened.
How would you go about doing that? I mean, when you say have fun, great. They didn't tackle well. They didn't run block well. So there's work to be done, obviously. Part of that's the opponent, too, they played. But how do you change it up and get the kids' confidence back?
Well, I think that one risk you run, and it's not a direct answer to your question, Chris, but one risk you run is, you know, you shorten practice, you make practice a little easier, and then the players are going, well, is he not taking this serious? I mean, is he giving up too? Is he this or that? So it's such a fine line that you have got to get their attention. You've got to get them to understand that this what's at stake, what's to be gained by winning this game, how important it is. You sort of appeal to them as athletes and as competitors and as Nebraska Cornhuskers. What's the proper way to rebound from this thing? And you sort of have to lead yourself. You have to show by example, I believe. And, you know, I and one of those Jay, would be just don't even show the doggone thing and go in and show your determination as a coach and your staff's determination, not your anger, but your determination. And you construct your practices that show your determination, but at the same time an understanding for what it's going to take at this point in time in the season. You know, everybody's cutting back. Nobody's hitting a whole lot. So it's a tough test because you've got to show some determination, and everybody else has got to see it in practice. They got to see it from the other players. And if Tommy hasn't been able to practice, I think that's a little tough go. Mm-hmm. And you never know with a guy like Tommy. You don't know whether or not really he's really well loved in that locker room and on that football team. Or he isn't. I don't know if you ever know that on the outside. Only on the inside do they know that. And we all look at it and say that's the way it is. Mm-hmm. We don't really know. So you don't know whether that team maybe needs somebody else to take over or not. But those are the risks you run as a coach, and you just got to figure it out. And your experience helps you through the years, and Mike's certainly got a lot of that.
Coach, orchestrating a game plan with a beat-up O-line that hasn't been playing very well, what kind of challenges does that present for a guy like Danny Langsdorf and try to put something together to give you the best advantage, but knowing, man, these guys can't even kind of block a simple zone, inside zone play, which is their bread and butter sometimes. Yep. I mean, the challenge is how frustrating can that be for an OC?
Well, it's really frustrating because, you know, you start getting 10% or more negative yardage plays in a game, you're going to lose the game is what it boils down to. So you've got to, you know what, you just try to create the best matchups you can without changing much. So you take a look at your strengths and you look at where you can match your strengths up against the weaknesses of Minnesota or whoever you're playing. And you know from the NFL that the NFL is all about matchups. Mm-hmm. That's what they spend their whole time doing, mm-hmm. is trying to create the best matchups they can. Try to secure your weaknesses as much as you can, but match up your strength in the best way you can against the weaknesses of a Minnesota defense or just on the other side of the ball, just the opposite. So, yeah, you've got to find a way to avoid the negative yardage plays. And then I think third down and five is just critical. You've got to have a plan that everybody believes in third down and five.
Gary Barnett, a couple more minutes with us, Hale Varsity Radio, talking Nebraska, Minnesota. Coach, we got onto this topic last hour, and I don't know if you have a solution, but I'm sure you have a great opinion on it. What do you do with Nebraska and other schools? And this is the quarterback question. How do you have reliable depth at quarterback in today's era of quarterbacks that if they're not playing, they're leaving? How do you build depth that's talented enough and there's no drop-off? That's affected Nebraska on the offensive line, where you have kids that can play ball, but they're not the starters, and that's been part of the struggles on the offensive line. Conversely, Nebraska didn't have a second-string quarterback that could, at least last Saturday, and it didn't matter who was second-string quarterback last Saturday, come in and lead a rally or come in and stop the bleeding. How do you fix that backup quarterback question in college football?
Well, it really is a great dilemma. There's no question, because if you've got a guy that looks like he's going to be a four-year starter, you're not going to be able to recruit a quarterback for 2 or 3 years. And I think then you've got to sort of have a plan that that maybe utilizes, or you're able to find a guy who wants to be at Nebraska more than anything else, or wherever, Colorado, or, you know, that you know, you might rely more on an in-state player and recruiting an in-state player, the best in-state player at that position. I don't know any other way, because it's a great riddle in college football right now is how do you maintain a quarterback, any kind of depth at the quarterback spot. And the only other thing, too, is you got to take into consideration is when you're running – these spread offenses and you're running your quarterback a lot, you're going to get him hurt. So if you've got one of those guys, you've got to have another one or two. So I don't know whether that single thing may be what turns football back towards a more conventional pro-style attack, is you can get away with having a game manager quarterback in an offense like that if you're relying on the great backs. I don't know how you do it, Chris, other than you really, really get somebody who wants to be there no matter what. You can't sign an ironclad, you know, contract with them, and maybe you take a little less of a player, but somewhere along the line, you've got to have somebody like that. You've got to have a backup that you can rely on, and it's hard to do right now.
Coach, going to go through some weekend games, USC, Washington. What do you think?
Well, you know, what I think probably is Washington, but I'm so invested now in this Pac-12 that I'm rooting for. Colorado needs Washington to win. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to cover all of our bases. So we need to have USC lose to Washington, and we need to have Utah lose to Washington. So I'm sort of a homer now, right now, for Washington. You know, and that being said, I think it's going to be a heck of a game because SC's really come on. Sam Darnold is best young quarterback in the Pac-12. They're playing really well. It's at Washington, and I think that gives them a chance. But this is a really tight game, I think.
LSU-Arkansas, tough duty for LSU, man.
Oh, I was just at Arkansas this week for that game, and I'll tell you, they just tore apart Florida, and Florida was awful in the game, mm-hmm. just awful, just no quarterback. You talk about a quarterback issue, there's a quarterback issue, but you know, it is tough duty coming. They've always struggled coming off the Alabama game, and I don't know that Arkansas is good enough. They run the ball really well. They throw a lot of screen passes. I don't know if they're good enough to put yards on that defense. I think LSU still finds a way to win this game.
Lastly, Coach, Michigan at Iowa. Can Iowa pull it together?
No.
You're just like, shut up and don't ask
me. Give me another one. Come
okay.
on.
All right. Let's
there
see.
There isn't too many this weekend.
No, there's not. I'm scrolling through. Auburn at Georgia? I mean.
No. No, Georgia doesn't have a chance in that one. No, I don't think there are a lot of great games either out there this weekend. And you know, Auburn's really getting good. That matchup's going to be really a good matchup. But I don't see many great games. Arizona State, Utah is tonight.
That's kind of intriguing. Yeah.
That's intriguing. And again, I'm rooting for Arizona State, but I don't think they can win the game. I think Baylor, you know, OU. Maybe at OU is a. I don't know how if it's a great game, but it's a really going to be a really critical game for Baylor. Mm. To get off the slide and see if they're even going to implode or not. So, but not a lot of star-studded games, you're right.
Gary Barnett with us. Coach, have a great weekend. Always love talking with you. We'll talk soon, and thanks for a few minutes today.
All right. Talk to you guys. Have a great weekend.
All right, bye-bye. You too. There he is, Gary Barnett with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Good stuff from Coach Barnett.
That response to the mission,
No, just give me another
give
one.
Give me another one.
Give me another one.
It's not even that good a game.
He is... pure joy to talk with college football. I mean, we're both looking at each other about, you know, how do you bounce back the response question? It's a theme. And he's like, well, as a staff, you got to do some things to build confidence. And I like the fact that you put it on the athlete. You show them where the water's at. They got to drink it to want to bounce back. But as far as shortening practice and making it fun, I mean, that's the complete opposite of how you think a coach would respond after getting smoked.
Right. I think, you can shorten it up. You can make it more physical. You just make it shorter. But the key is as a coaching staff, you can't show panic or any – you can't do anything
this
out of the ordinary.
This staff hasn't.
You're right. You can't do anything out of the ordinary. Otherwise, the players will recognize that. It's hard. It's really difficult.
We'll get into that response question. Your chance coming up with Nebraska-Minnesota tickets on Hail Varsity.
Want to be heard?
We know he's not. Let him finish.
Call 402-466-ESPN or text HAIL to 88474 with your message. Chat with us on Twitter at @Schmidt_radio and JMore44 and TJ_Henning.
Who wants to have some fun?
Now it's back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks so much to Coach Gary Barnett, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Got to build confidence, and we'll see how Nebraska has done that this week as they try and respond against Minnesota. It is time for Secret Husker with ESPN and Hail Varsity. Secret Husker, and when you call in with the correct Secret Husker name right now, two tickets to Nebraska, Minnesota, and Blur Party passes. 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free 1-800-825-5865. There was a mix-up a little bit. You should have used the name Broderick Thomas as your Secret Husker this morning for Nick and Greg. So your Secret Husker name is the all-time leader in Nebraska tackles and a dear friend of Jay Moore. That is given to you because we love you. But Secret Husker now with Hail Varsity at ESPN, 466-377-6800-825-5865. First person that correctly identifies the Secret Husker player. Two tickets to Nebraska, Minnesota. Blur party passes. Your chance in Nebraska, Minnesota tickets tomorrow at the Hail Varsity tailgate in the rail yard. We'll be there 4 to 6:30. Want to see you down there. Should be around 65 degrees. Gorgeous, beautiful beer and munchies for you. It's free. You'll love it. And TJ is getting that hookup right now at the Secret Husker. Okay.
When is it going to be 65 degrees?
It's supposed to be tomorrow, isn't it? Did you just blow my mind here with awful weather update?
Well, I'm just curious because it's like, I mean, that just, in my head, it's like that's golf weather.
Oh, and of course it is. You can golf before you show up tomorrow. Not telling you what to do or anything, but no, 65. This has been an awesome November. I mean, we're already the 10th of November.
It will change quickly.
No, it'll suck.
Remember last year how cold it was right around the Iowa game?
Yeah, it was brutal.
Oh.
So what you got tomorrow? I said 70. I lied to you. It's 55 degrees tomorrow. But doesn't matter. Wear a sweatshirt and come see us. It'll be...
the more you drink, the warmer you feel.
Right, 55 degrees at the start of our Hail Varsity tailgate tomorrow in the rail yard. Okay, let's try and predict Saturday night. It's a night game. It's a response game. And it's also a kind of a, dare I say, statement game. It's a statement by Nebraska that... Look, Ohio State was the outlier. Things will be okay. Nebraska's still a better team and program than Minnesota because it's very, very
practice
okay.
updates.
Thank
There's
you.
Some practice
Jay's
updates.
Showing
I'm
me.
Sorry.
No, that's fine.
We need like a breaking news alert. The
we do. We need some sort of toilet flushing or something. So Mike Riley said this per Brian Rosenthal: Tommy Armstrong could be cleared to play by Friday. Was able to do most of Thursday's practice, wore a green practice jersey. So this is the final step in concussion protocol. It will be tomorrow, but he could be cleared tomorrow. That's the word by Coach Riley.
Yeah, it says Tommy Armstrong has passed through concussion protocol, will likely be cleared asymptomatic tomorrow. So
good.
That's what we thought.
That's what we're saying. So we're just telling you to wait another day
and,
for the official.
Well, record. And this is just funny how this is coming out, but I mean, it says Foster looks ready, feels good, will play Saturday. I mean, that's that's crazy to me. But that's kind of desperate times call for desperate measures.
I think they're at this point right now where they know to finish the year, they're going to have to rely on the run game. The pass game has been this
point,
boom or bust.
Right. I'm not trying to be a complete a-hole here, but I mean, can it really get any worse?
The run game?
Yeah.
No.
So you have nothing to lose.
No. You do. If it, I guess it can always get worse.
to see what that looks like.
No, I know. It can always get worse. That said, I think Foster is sick of watching it. I think he's busted his butt in rehab. That, I about fell out of my chair Monday when Coach Riley's like, that dude's going to try and go.
Yeah.
I don't expect him to start Saturday.
No, that's a lot to ask.
I think you kind of eventually, a few series into the game, you get him in.
Mm-hmm. See how he reacts.
Yeah, because, I mean, you got him and Utter and then Gates. And then if you got Farmer back and then Neville, I'm really anxious to see how Neville responds. He's been out. He needs to play well.
Well, he has. I mean, I hate beating up on guys too much because I know he's been has the injury.
So is Gates.
Right, right. You know, he has hasn't looked – he's looked bad at times, just especially i.e. the Wisconsin game. Mm-hmm. But of how much is that foot, ankle, knee stuff that he's battled through? Or how much is it him? Because he's – I mean, even early in the season, he was he had some issues as well in pass rush.
That can happen with your first year starting.
Yeah, yeah. But it's be nice.
The question is how much better is he going to get?
Correct. But it's always amazing to me. I know injuries, but I just try to picture my time throughout, you know, the year. And it's like, did I get better? Because I expect guys to get better throughout the year. Then I try to take a step back and say, did I get better as you went on?
I think there was a realizing point in your career where, yeah, you did.
Well, I look at my sophomore year, the first year I was able to play. I got better. My better games were in the second part of the year. My junior year, there was times where you're just like, what the hell was that? But that just happens. Everyone has like, you just have a couple plays. And I'm literally thinking like two plays. I always seem to remember my bad plays. It's crazy. I can go through about every game and look at like one or two plays where I'm like, you know, yelling at myself, what the hell are you doing? But it's just, I always feel like you got to be progressing throughout the year. And that's why the Ohio State loss was kind of tough to swallow too, because
they've been building to this point, right?
And even though you lost Wisconsin, there was some hope there. And then it all comes like you're building, and that wall that you're building just came crashing down. So that's what's kind of the
leaves you just scratching your head. This late in the year, this point in the season, you knew you weren't great, but you knew you were scrappy enough to hang.
Right.
So now the ultimate scrappy team in Big Ten football the last 5 years with old Jerry and now Dilly Bar, okay? Coach Clay's in the Dilly Bar sideline tradition. They are the ultimate team you don't want to see and can't see if you're not a team that has enough guts to bounce back. You've said pride this week a lot, and you mentioned it Monday with – how you just can't ever check out, even if you get in your butt.
Right. It was a gut check game.
It's a big time gut check game, and it's against the ultimate gut check team, because Minnesota just doesn't care. They are the definition of grinders to get 8-5 somehow, some way.
Right.
This is the team that will test you. So in a way, I'm excited for the opponent. The matchup is going to be a classic Big Ten game. From a skill level standpoint, it isn't Oklahoma, Nebraska, but from a physicality standpoint and just who's got more endurance, who's more mentally tough, who's more physically tough, whoever answers yes to those questions will win Saturday.
It's a phone booth game, but is Nebraska built to win in a phone booth right now?
They've won phone booth games before because of their talent, and they out-athleted Minnesota last year. And their speed. I mean, they didn't smash mouth Minnesota last year. They just said, "Dude, we're faster than you, and you have no answer."
Right, and we probably our skill sets are a little better than Minnesota's. But again, Minnesota has that ability. I mean, crazy thing. Last time Minnesota was here,
they won.
They won, and Nebraska was 20.
They're on 21-7 and came back to win.
Right, and I mean, if you're knocking on wood here, Nebraska was at that time 21st in the country, like they are now. Came off a blowout loss to Wisconsin. Now we're coming off a blowout loss to...
You're making some eerie parallels here, Bird.
Well, I'm just saying, we just came off a blowout loss to Wisconsin. Now we just come off a blowout loss to Ohio State. Completely different situation, though, right?
Well, yeah, because no one went for 408 and your quarterback didn't get knocked out 2 years ago.
Yeah,
I think the Minnesota game... The Minnesota game sealed the deal for the past administration.
Mm-hmm.
It eliminated you from the West. And again, to go along with your parallel here, this will eliminate you from the West.
Correct.
On Saturday night if you lose. But do they come out and play well? Do they come out and play flat? Do you have a lead?
Oh, my gosh.
I think they're going to come out and respond. They're going to play PO. I think they're going to play well. I want to think that.
But I don't know. Like, I kind of got burned this last game. I thought they would play well against Ohio State.
I thought they'd get beat soundly, but it would be one of those
play well and lose
35,
by two touchdowns.
Times, yeah.
I mean, I understand that the talent issues were there. I guess I was kind of blindsided a little bit by the fact that Ohio State's been struggling. I watched all that Northwestern game. I'm like, God, they don't look that good to me. You know, they just didn't look that impressive to me. Well, Urban said enough was enough, kicked him in the ass, and, you know, they put it into high gear. Right. But I think they'll play better. I don't know. I have a hard time figuring out where this team is at. I don't know because listen, I mean,
they have enough guts to me to respond appropriately.
Right, but how many times this year we come out and we've struggled in first halves of games? I mean, down a half to Illinois, down a half to Purdue, only up by a touchdown or a score against Fresno and Wyoming. I think we're down a half to Oregon. That's just do we come out and we look great and we have a couple touchdown lead at halftime, and can we sustain that? Or are we going to be down again? We're going to see that fourth quarter team that we've seen so much. There's just so much. I don't know. I don't know if I can come out and say. I think this team, I think it's a slugfest. I do. I think the point spread is about right on the money. Seven. Yeah.
It'll be one of those 24-17 ball games. Of course, we'll have the forecast tomorrow. That's a great question. It's an absolutely great question. I think they come out. I think Leidner's the key. I think this defense knows that. I think the defense knows they've been gearing up all week. Even if they do get Tommy back, and you'll have the official word tomorrow, even if they do get Tommy back, the defense has been kind of gearing up and keying up all week to put it on them. And they want a redemption game, too, after giving up 62.
Yeah, I think this defense is one of those games where we finally load up the box and say, okay, Leitner,
yeah,
you throw the ball on us. We'll see what you got, because our secondary is pretty somewhat – we're talented.
Very good secondary.
And we'll take our guys one-on-one or with one guy over top and one guy on man-to-man on the other side.
Just double your tight end and you throw outside.
So
how does Nebraska respond, with vengeance or do they come out flat? I think it's important, too, that the Nebraska fan base gets cranked up, geared up, and is extremely loud Saturday night.
Welcome back to the Hail Varsity Radio Show. Here's Chris and Jay.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Going to be a black and blue game on Saturday night, Minnesota-Nebraska. After that series of body blows, you'll need some relaxation. You'll need to find that way to the hot tub. And we welcome in Deb, the Spa Lady, Home Innovation Spas, 20th and Highway 2. And even after last Saturday night, you need to sit in that tub and just soak it up because that one hurt. Deb, how are we?
Oh, I'm doing great. And I am enjoying this perfect weather. Our delivery guys are loving it, too, except that it's getting dark too early. It makes our days shorter. So if you're thinking about getting a spa, we can still get one in before Thanksgiving, but times and spots are running out. So come in and see us.
Well, we got to do so. 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln and Omaha location. Spasonline.com can log on. But go see Deb in person. 20th and Highway 2 in Lincoln, Home Innovation Spas. So, Deb, it is dark, and you have spas, though, either the swim spa or maybe you need something smaller for your deck or something. But how good does it feel to have a spa when you're getting that 40 to 60 degree range, 45, 50 degrees at night, and it's 60 during the day? That's never a bad time to go soak, correct?
Oh, this is absolutely the perfect time of year, and we're noticing that because people are coming in, they're getting their spas up and ready to go for the fall and winter, and you can tell it's time, and they're excited, and it's so great to go out in this type of weather. You know, it's not freezing yet. You're not plowing through snow to get there, but you're going and it's nice and chilly, so it's the perfect time.
And it's dark, like you said, so if I go with my shirt off, it's not going to freak anyone out.
That's right. Leave the light off.
Yeah, we will. All right, Deb, we will see you soon, and thanks for your time as always.
Okay, thanks, Chris.
Take care. There we go. See, she gets it. What's that? The baby? No, it's a boiler. What do you want? Good question from Dan. He tweets in. For the younger audience, you might need to explain what a phone booth is. Remember those?
Small glass.
Where's the last payphone or phone booth you've seen, though?
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, I've seen the...
I don't know.
There's a couple of... Man, there was in South Dakota and Southwest Minnesota at Brantley's wedding. There was a dive bar that had a phone a pay phone.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I went up to see if there was any change left in the thing.
Yeah. The change return. But, I just picture Ron Burgundy.
Yeah.
I'm in a glass case of
emotion right now. Yeah, I hope there's minimal emotion. Again, news on Tommy Armstrong. The process has continued. Tomorrow we should have an answer.
Right. He's fine as long as he has no recurring symptoms of headaches or anything like that from his physical activity today. He'll be good to go.
That'll be big. Nebraska favored by 7. And let's talk NFL for a minute.
Okay.
You have Cleveland. You have
how bad it's been.
Well, you have Cleveland and Baltimore on tonight. Has the NFL just kind of punted on Thursday night matchups?
I think they need to get rid of it. I think it was a great experimentation. I thought they'd think it would be better. But the games are horrible. I don't care if it's going to be the Patriots versus the Steelers. You're going to get bad football on a Thursday night game because guys aren't getting their normal rest. It's
short week.
I mean, literally, you have a game Sunday. Monday. You have one practice. That's on Tuesday. And that's your normal day off, anyways. And it's a travel day. Game prep. What you're playing Thursday? It's crazy. It's crazy to think that you're going to get a great product on Thursday. You know, it's nice, I guess, you get those extra days of rest, you know, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. You're back in a normal week on Wednesday. That's nice. But to get a good product, I mean, luckily, Monday night's game was a halfway decent game.
It was a great game
Even
Monday
though
night.
Those boneheaded referees messed up a couple times.
No,
but
you had a great matchup. You had high scoring. You had controversy. You finally had a good Monday night game. But some who's playing in Mexico this weekend? It's Arizona.
I couldn't even tell you. That's
no. You have another. You've had guys playing in England,
right?
At least for most of October.
And those have been actually halfway decent games. I don't mind those.
No one's seen them because
I like watching the games at 9 o'clock in the morning. But a lot of times people are sleeping until 10, 11.
Going to church, right. Yeah, whatever. But I think Arizona and actually no, it's not that you have Oakland.
Is it in Mexico City?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oakland's off. I'll get my.
I don't know. I've been so off the NFL this
stuff week. Straight. I think Arizona and San Fran is in Mexico. Fairly certain.
I legitimately love watching college football. NFL. I mean, it's been hard. I mean, the baseball playoffs have been so good this past fall.
Yeah.
You know, those Sunday. I didn't care. I mean, the night that the
you have Cowboys, Steelers, and Seahawks, Patriots. That'll be awesome.
Those are two great matchups. Two excellent matchups. But what is one of those Sunday night?
Yeah, it's New England and
Steelers. That's a good Sunday night matchup.
It's New England and Seattle is the Sunday night, and then you have the Cowboys and Steelers.
Is it probably a national game?
Can you Google, because I'm not having great success here, the Mexico City game. You either have one this weekend or next weekend, and it might be Oakland next week. They're on a bye week this week. But I'm saying between Thursday night games and the NFL – and just the international flavor. Will it catch on, Jay, ever? Will someday there be a franchise in London? Will there someday be a franchise in Mexico City? Are they trying? I mean,
I don't know. No, I don't. I don't believe you can function. I mean, how the team that plays over there going back and forth? I mean, obviously you'd have it where they're playing maybe three or four away, but it's too hard logistically. I think it's way too hard. What do you got, Tej?
Yeah, in 2 weeks, Monday night, Texans at Raiders.
Okay, so I was kind of high. it's in Mexico City. I got that right, and it's 2 weeks.
Estadio Azteca.
Nice.
The Aztec Bowl.
Sure.
I failed Spanish. I'm just playing
Aztec Stadium, yeah.
Okay, let's get what caller do we want to do? 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4?
Mm-hmm.
Or 40.
Well, no, We don't want to have TJ with the 40 callers.
No, he's just like, I
don't know. You're just showing off now
that.
About your Spanish skills. Well,
that's the only quiz I passed. It was 1 through 10 and 1 through 50. We'll take caller number 4. TJ's like, 4. 4 right now, and we're giving away a 6-month premium online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. So caller 4, that free premium online subscription to HailVarsity.com. What do you get if you're a premium subscriber? Well, access to the message board community with Hail Varsity. Also, premium content. That's videos. That's stories. That's insight. That's analysis. Also, inside info, as in maybe Tommy status from our staff, in-depth recruiting, and, of course, the breaking news with Hail Varsity. Caller 4 right now, a 6-month premium online subscription to you. Be sure to high-five Aaron Babcock on that with HailVarsity.com, the premium forum. You're a passionate fan. It's an amazing Nebraska community with HailVarsity.com, a 6-month online subscription. We're doing this every day. Be caller 4 right now, and you are the winner with Hail Varsity. We'll wind down a Thursday next.
Former Blackshirt Jay Moore.
That thing is big, Jay. That thing looks hurt, Jay. Oh, man, pull back up, Jay. Jay, we could get some big money for that.
Now, back to the show with Chris Schmidt and Jay Moore.
Thanks for hanging out. A fun Thursday. At least I had fun. Jay Moore, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and more practice nuggets, Bird.
Yeah. What,
Conrad.
Oh, Conrad, yeah, off the top of my head. Conrad will start in place of Neville. He's still nursing that ankle injury. I thought, actually, one highlight of the O-line, I thought Conrad was pretty good, actually, in pass pro. So, it's not a huge drop-off with Conrad and Neville, my opinion.
No, but you have Farmer and Conrad, and then you're going to see some Gerald Foster,
yeah,
which will be good. I don't know how much of him you'll get, but some is better than none, and boom, you're going to have a more healthy Gates, it sounds like, mm-hmm. too, which is great. So, interesting. Who got our premium online subscription, TJ?
Dan Van Bibber.
Dan, come on down. Well done.
DVB.
I love that. It's wonderful. We want to see you tomorrow. Craft Beer Tasting Bar from Longwell's and K&Z Distributing. We are at the Rail Yard, the Hail Varsity Tailgate. And Joel Makovica, Brandon Kenny will be there. Myself, Mark Kranak. Bird might stop by on that one. Your chance with the Auris Watch grand prize giveaway. That is not till Maryland weekend, but you can qualify his and her Auris Watches with Rick and the friends at Sauter Heyman. There's munchies down there. There's craft beer. It's free to get in. We don't charge you for the beer either, as long as supplies last. Triple B Screen Printing has some awesome T-shirts. Your friends at Brian Health and Emeritus and Ren's Display and Nebraska Lottery, along with Kidwell, going to be there. We'll have more chances for you for Nebraska-Minnesota tickets tomorrow. There's chances at Nebraska gear. I have a giant corn head to give away tomorrow, too. I will not wear
it. Yours, personally?
No. Oh. Hell no. That's banned in my house. But it's okay if someone else wears it.
Right.
You know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So the corn, TJ's looking.
Not really a fan of that, huh?
I think there are other things that look better on people.
That's fair.
I
mean, I hate that when people hold up the four fingers for the fourth quarter thing, so.
How?
Oh, we're supposed to own the fourth quarter. Like, we don't want to own in the other quarters. And, like, yeah, I know it's the fourth quarter. Big deal. Like, come on. Like, no, give that
really?
Up. Oh, yeah, I hate it.
It's been
so stupid.
It's gone on forever.
Oh, hate it.
Wow. Someone's Jeez. Pissy.
Tell us how you really feel, DJ.
I love the four-quarter thing.
Oh. I just look around at those. Oh, man.
Wow, those people? Are we going to go to those people?
I'm sorry, man. I just
I think I win this argument. It's better to do the four-quarter thing than wear a corn head.
I'm
now, again, I'm not discouraging you from winning the corn head tomorrow. That said, if you're about 5'1", with blonde hair and blue eyes, you can wear whatever the hell you want. If you...
5'1", you like them short.
Well, I'm not super tall. The bunny's 5'7", so I like them 5'7".
Okay, I gotcha.
Reel it in.
Okay. So there we have it. Find us tomorrow. If you missed the podcast, log on hailvarsity.com and check out the message boards for sure. Premium content for you. You can subscribe, hailvarsity.com, subscribe. And iTunes also is where you can get the podcast. Bird, we'll see you.
See ya.
Appreciate it, man. Black Shirt Jay. Jay Moore at Jaymore44. TJ Henning. Chris Schmidt. And thanks to Gary Barnett. Big time tonight. Thanks to Bill Dolman. And thanks to you for tuning in. Minnesota, Nebraska, we will wind down the preview tomorrow in the rail yard with Hail Varsity.